I close my eyes, her face comes into view. What's a broken man supposed to do? Tell me, why is the night so long? Only when the one you love is surely past and gone. I'm staring at the ceiling, can't shake this awful feeling. Tell me, why is the night so long?
And that is the name of the song, Why Is the Night So Long, from the brand new CD, so brand new it's not out yet, called Breaking Ground by the Chicago bluegrass band Hen House Prowlers, who are going to be playing in Monticello tonight at Allerton Park. And I'm very pleased to have the members, the four members of the band, on the show with us in just a moment. And then coming up, we will have live in our studio some of the singing actors from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, two of whom were here just within the last couple of weeks as members of this summer stock company. They were doing an entirely different show from the one that is now underway, which is Monty Python's Spamalot. So you'll get to hear them, if you heard that show, in completely different roles, and that should be a lot of fun. So that's coming up later on in the program from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. This program is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. And so, Hen House Prowlers tonight at 6 o'clock. Actually, there's another band that's opening for them, and I guess you guys are probably going to start at 7, something like that. And let me introduce the guys, the two remaining founding members, Ben Wright and John Goldfein. Ben plays a banjo and John is on the bass. And the two more recent members, Star Moss on guitar, and Dan Andre, who is familiar to many in the Champaign-Urbana area, is the fiddle player. Thanks all for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Sorry we couldn't work it out just for studio space today to have a little live performance, because it's your third appearance, I think, on the show, both previous times playing live, and we really love having you here, so hopefully we'll get to do that again. And you come down pretty regularly to this community. Anything draw you other than the fact that somebody's hiring you?
We do play here more now than we have in the past, because partly I think because Dan's in the band and he's got connections here, and some we play in the places that we're connected to personally as well as musically, if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense, and I guess that does raise a point of curiosity. How much do you get out beyond Illinois, Chicago? I mean, I assume plenty of places, but I guess I don't really know.
We do a lot around the Midwest, we also hit Colorado. We've been hitting Colorado two or three times a year, and the West Coast a couple times a year. We just came back from a swing in upstate New York and Pennsylvania.
Which is not coincidentally where I'm from, so that was part of the reason.
Did I know you're from Pennsylvania?
No, I'm from upstate New York.
Oh, upstate New York.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Not as cool.
Where in Pennsylvania did you play?
We were in Williamsport.
Which is it's a small town, but it's apparently on Sundays and Mondays they have pretty big acts from all over the country because it's a good midway point between the East Coast and the Midwest and the West Coast. And so it's a pretty small little town in the middle of nowhere, but they get some great acts there. It's kind of a neat phenomenon.
I remember fishing when I was a kid in Williamsport. It was my family had a friend there and actually caught fish, so that was kind of cool. One of the few times I've ever gone fishing, and then ate them.
Nice.
So it's a pretty part of the
state. It's beautiful there, for sure.
So the Colorado, is that also a connection?
Well, it's become one. You know, initially, we just you know, it was just seemed like another good market to hit, you know, good venues and good music scene.
Where in Colorado?
All over. You know, we do a lot on the Front Range, you know, Denver and Boulder, Fort Collins. But, you know, we've ventured into the mountains some as well.
Is it a particularly bluegrass appreciating state, do you think?
One of the most.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah, by far. For sure.
And sort of progressive bluegrass is a big scene there. You know, there's a lot of all the sub genres of bluegrass there, jam grass and trance grass and rock grass, if that's a thing.
Okay, so those are three terms that are new to me.
Well, the two I've heard before. The last one just sounds like
I think Dan might have made one
form
of them up.
Of greenery. But
odd form of greenery,
yeah, which is also in Colorado.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. They're trying to get it there more.
Yeah,
but no, there's a lot. There's a lot of our type of music in different variations out in Colorado. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of support for it, and a lot of other bands and concert goers, which is important. That a lot of people come out there. And,
but I want to go back to this transgrass.
Trance.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. I don't think that's a common subgenre, but it's like
you've heard this kind of music before.
The horseflies.
I've heard it and heard. Yeah.
Horseflies are a great. They're not from Colorado, but they're a great example of it.
What happens in trance grass?
It's half electronic, half bluegrass instruments. The horseflies lean more old time than they do bluegrass, but it's still very.
It's got
banjo and then beats.
It's when a banjo is being played and your face slowly melts. That's
Dan, how many of the songs are you writing these days? And do you get that sort of colorful language in the songs?
Well, I wrote one that's on the new album. There's some colorful language, but it's a little disturbing, I guess.
Yes.
I have the next one I write is going to have to be really upbeat and happy to make up for that one.
That's called The Track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, since we're talking about it, we might as well at least hear some of it.
Sure.
We're not going to get really down listening to it, right?
Oh, no. It's
it's just disturbing.
Maybe.
It's just disturbing. Okay. All right. This is a composition of Dan Andre. The first one, by the way, should have given credit to Ben Wright. Henhouse Prowlers from their forthcoming CD called Breaking Ground. They're going to be in Monticello tonight. This is Live and Local.
To me, the story I was told, they said, son, it's your mind, Bob. You see, this man has been running from the law, going around from town to town, just trying to find a place to lay his weary head down. They said, you came up to my front porch, started to push open that old screen door, when my ma said no, and would not budge, you shot him both. Your misery.
Gonna track you down.
Till sweat meets blood on this lonesome road.
Gonna track you down.
Till your body lies lifeless and cold. I've spent so many years a searching. Watch the prime of my life pass right before my eyes. Though the road ahead seems endless, I'm gonna track you to the day I die.
Gonna track you down.
Till sweat meets blood on this lonesome road.
Gonna track you down.
Till your body lies lifeless and cold.
Well, disturbing may well be the right word about that song, but it's a cool song. The track, Dan Andrews' composition for the Henhouse Prowlers on their new CD called Breaking Ground. They'll be at Allerton Park in Monticello tonight. The show starts at 6, and they'll come on at about 7 o'clock. And I'm sorry, I don't have written down who the other band is. Do you guys know?
Frank F. Sidney's Western Bandit Volunteers.
Say that again?
Frank F. Sidney's Western Bandit Volunteers.
That's correct.
That's a mouthful. Frank F. Sidney's Western Bandit. Oh, that sounds like fun. Have you heard these guys?
Band. Yeah, we know them. Yeah.
What sort of stuff? Is it also bluegrass?
No. It's, you know, it's string bandy.
Yeah.
They're good. They're from Galesburg, Illinois.
With a name like that, it's got to be at least worthwhile at some level.
They're great.
They are.
If you have that kind of creativity, that's good. So this is what, the fourth or fifth album for Henhouse Prowlers?
It's the fifth.
You say that with a certain amount of...
Our first one is kind of outdated in a lot of ways. We don't really take it around on the road and put it on our merch table anymore. You can still get a copy online, but, you know, it was done early, kind of early in the band's existence, and we just wanted to have something on CD to sell at our shows.
Do you still sell Prowlers underwear?
That is not yet available.
I've been telling John for months to get it.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, I don't know how much of the demand is there for that. But you never know. Yeah, you never know until you have it. So maybe before too long.
But we've been talking a lot about the CD release party, and I've been saying it shows that we're excited about our forthcoming album, and John keeps having to remind me that it's our fifth coming album, which is pleasant.
Yes.
Every time it gets more funny. Each utterance. Yeah. Utterance? Is that the word?
Utterance. Yeah. So what do you so this one, what would you say is the progress of the band aside from adding these guys, Dan and Star, who were on the previous record, which was just a lot of live tracks,
right?
Oh,
yes. You're right.
A lot of live tracks. Which sounds a bit live. I mean, it sounds, you can hear the live ambience in it. But what would you say is new about the Henhouse Prowlers as represented in this CD, if anything?
Well, we were in this, you know, we took a month in the studio with Greg Cahill from the Special Consensus as producer. And that was really somewhat transformative to us to have someone with his stature around and his experience of 40 years and with his own band running in and out of the bluegrass world. We set out to do the album almost a year after these guys joined the band. So we'd had time to settle into everything, and it wasn't such a new thing. That's why we did the live album first, because we knew we needed something that represented the band more, but we just didn't feel like we were ready to go into the studio yet.
That was just a few months after we joined that we did the live thing.
Yeah, I mean, we play almost every Tuesday in Chicago at Martyrs, and we collected many Tuesdays, like, I don't know, 8 Tuesdays worth of shows, and picked the best tracks and put them together and mixed them down, so...
Also going on with the new album, I think we felt like it was it showed our songwriting more. That live album was a lot of traditional tunes and a lot of covers. There was a handful of originals on there as well, but with the new album we really wanted to put as much original stuff as we could, and it really is. It's almost all original stuff.
Well, I'm looking here. I see one traditional arranged called Pretty Polly, and then one by some other person.
Yep.
What, Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
Yeah, the old Temptations tune.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Other than that, it's all you guys.
Yep. And that was our goal, for sure.
Yeah, and to talk about Greg Cahill again briefly is, like, he really put his touch on this album, and in general, like, I think I've learned a lot from being in the studio with him outside of just studio recording, of, like, you know, arranging songs and how to sing, you know, certain phrases even, and, like, he really, like, lent a lot of great lessons that come off clearly in the album. So it's like, you know, I mean, it is. We did it with him, and it's like he's a fifth member of the band.
And is he playing banjo throughout or just on some of the tracks?
Just a couple tracks.
Yeah, two different tracks he is.
Two instrumentals. And then he also was able, instrumental in getting in Josh Williams to sit in on one of the tracks. I don't know if you know Josh Williams.
I don't know that name.
He played with Greg's band years ago and went on to play with Ron DeVincent. And he's just one of the best bluegrass guitar players ever. And go ahead, Star. Star got to play with him, which I think was a special moment for sure.
Yeah, it's basically every guitar player's dream to, you know, play with this guy.
Every bluegrass guitar player, for sure.
Well, since we're talking about songwriting also, let's see if we can represent everybody here, because we heard one of Ben's tunes, we heard one of Dan's tunes, and this one is one of John's tunes called Lonesome Road. It's the second one on the track, second track on the CD called Breaking Ground. Hen House Prowlers, my guests here on Live and Local. They'll be playing at Allerton Park in Monticello as part of their monthly First Friday series. It's been going on, I think, since April, and will continue, I believe, through October. You're listening to Live and Local.
Lonely days, lonely nights, pulling a heavy load, feeling wrong, can't be right. I'm on that lonesome road, lonely woman, lonely man. How far did the seed we sow, barren hearts and good for nothing land? Out on that lonesome road, can't stand this heartache, them broken dreams, I'm torn apart at the seams. No future, now in the fall, head down that lonesome road. Not sure if I've been here before, seems familiar yet unknown. I've been kicked outside of love's door. Time. I never borrow, but I always write a verse and sing a rhyme. Out on that lonesome road, can't stand this heartache and broken dreams. I'm torn apart at the seams. Unknown future, now in the fall, head down that lonesome road. Every day, it seems I miss her more. I bit the apple, it was rotten to the core. Mind in a muddle, caught in a maze. Trying to find some way to end these lonely days. Jump on that saddle, hop on the train. Going to the place where I can ease the pain. California, I'm on my way. On that old and this heartache and broken dreams, I'm torn apart at the seams. Unknown future, now in the fall, heading down that lonesome road, heading down that lonesome road.
Lonesome Road, Hen House Prowlers, here on Live and Local from their forthcoming CD, Breaking Ground. It's John Goldfine, the bassist, singing and wrote that tune. Hearing them here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation, dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. So when will the CD be available?
We have a release show scheduled for August 24th at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago.
In Chicago. And then we could play the whole thing if we
want. Oh, yeah.
And sell it. No, we can't sell it.
Of course. Give it to your friends.
You know, I've been remiss in not mentioning the other gig you guys have in our area just about a week from now on Saturday, August 10th. You'll be back down at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. Always a great place to hear music for their late show. So that'll start about 9 o'clock. And we'll try to mention that during the program next week. Is the I've just heard, I mean, I'm just hearing these tracks now for the first time as we're playing them, because you just gave me this when you came in. Is it mostly vocals this time around, or a lot of vocals, or?
There's two instrumentals, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is that the usual balance? I don't remember. Is that pretty typical of a
show? It's about what we've done in the past, isn't it? It seems about
right. Yeah, it sounds about right.
A couple instrumentals per album.
And the rule is, if you write the song, you get to sing it, more or less?
Well, that's how we've done it.
It's, I mean, your rule.
Yeah, that's up to the person who wrote the song, you know. It, and usually you, when you write a song, you have yourself singing it in mind. At least when you're writing it, you're the one singing it. So I think it usually ends up that way. No one's been like, you know, I wrote this song, I think you'd be better singing it.
I usually hear Del McCurry singing songs when I'm writing them, but we haven't been able to get him.
So you don't hear yourself in the song?
You have to eventually.
Well, I think we're lucky that we're a band where we have, like, we all are able to sing. Yeah. You know, so, like, I don't feel like there's a weakness in any of us singing lead on a song.
Well, in my experience hearing you guys live, I would have to agree. A lot of good singers, except I don't remember if I've heard you sing Star.
Yeah, I'm starting to sing a little more these days. So... Yeah.
And are you singing on one of the tracks you've penned?
Yeah, there's a couple tracks actually on there that I'm singing on. There's two.
Drunk Again?
Yeah, that's one of them, and Another Train is another one.
You have a preference which you'd like to send out to the audience?
Maybe Drunk Again.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that self-reflective?
You know, actually it's a funny story. Ben I'm going to embarrass him here really quick.
Go right ahead.
He actually said that after a show one night. We were drinking whiskey at a place out in Colorado, a little ski resort place, and he said, "Oh, I'm drunk again." And it just kind of stuck with me as a funny idea for a song. But then it turned into a serious song. Yeah,
just explain to my parents.
Are you going to try to defend yourself now? Yeah.
That's not the way it is.
He was drunk again. It was just the second time. Right. It was no big deal.
Yeah. Just like I still was walk home. 6 months ago.
And he's learned his lesson.
Right.
Until the next time.
If you haven't seen a live show in a few months, Star really is singing a lot more these days. He's singing at least like 3, 4, 5, 6 songs a show. And
his voice is so different than the rest of ours. It's actually... really great. I love Star's voice.
Well, you all have, you all really do have distinctive vocal styles. I mean, I've noticed myself, and we'll hear an example right now. It's Hen House Prowlers. You can hear them tonight for not a lot of money at 6 to 9. Well, again, the band who's opening?
Frank F. Sidney's Western Bandit Volunteers.
There you go, at 6, and then the Prowlers coming on at about 7 o'clock. Till 9, Allerton Park in Monticello. John Goldfine is on bass. Ben Wright is on banjo. Star Moss on the guitar. And Dan Andre on the fiddle. They all do the vocals, and they all write the songs. This is called Drunk Again.
Sorry, old town, I'll find me some whiskey and I'll drink it down. There's nothing more lonesome than drinking alone when you're broken hearted and out on your own. The neon lights call me in the dark of the night, and the warm glow of whiskey is shining so bright. Stars. sunshine when I'm seeing clouds. And somewhere tonight you're off loving him. Well, I sit here alone and I'm drunk again. Well, I sit here alone and I'm drunk again.
From the forthcoming CD by the Hen House Prowlers here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They'll be at Allerton Park in Monticello tonight until 9 o'clock. Show starts at 6. And then they'll be at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana next Saturday, August 10th, for a show that starts around the time this one ends. It'll be about 9 o'clock. You're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9, where our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. And you can take WYLO with you anywhere you go now. If you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, just head to the App Store or Google Play and search for WILL Radio. The new WYLL app is free, and it allows you to stream this station, which, of course, is our FM station, as well as our companion WYLL AM station. Listen to past episodes of your favorite programs on demand, including Live and Local, and much more as well, on the new WILL app. Next on today's program, we're actually welcoming back a couple of actors from the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan who were most recently performing there in Will Rogers' Follies. And we heard some live performances previewing that show, although I guess we heard you in the midst of the run. And since it is summer stock theater, that means that among the stock are the actors who kind of get recycled and from show to show, and they get to put on be many different characters in different shows. And the next one, which actually opened two nights ago, I guess, is Monty Python's Spamalot, and I can't quite imagine anything more different from Will Rogers' Follies. Although I have not seen either show, so you know I'm making that assumption based on descriptions and based on what we heard last time. Just a couple of weeks ago from Sean Zimmerman and Carla Shook, who are returning in this show, in the case of Carla as Lady of the Lake, in the case of Sean as Sir Galahad, and we also have with us now King Arthur himself, played by Robert Anthony Jones, and back once more is John Stevens, who is, are you still executive producer this week?
This week I'm the executive producer, yes.
Title changes.
Hopefully it won't change anymore. We're going to stick with that.
And also Therese Kincaid, who is Associate Artistic Director for the Little Theater in Sullivan. The next show, of course, is tonight, and Spamalot will continue through August 11th. Thank you all for coming back in some cases and for coming up, Therese and Robert.
Thanks for having
us.
I looked at some YouTube clips yesterday from Spamalot, including one with David Hyde Pierce doing a song about you can't do Broadway
you
without
won't
the Jews.
On Broadway without any Jews.
Without any Jews or something. That, is that a reasonable indication of what goes on in this show?
Most definitely. One of the reviewers that we just read on the way up, he said that that song actually probably really fits better into a Mel Brooks show, which I agree that it does. It's just wacky fun and
ridiculous.
Pokes fun at what we do for a living, and it's in a fun way though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the show, the film that is, well, the phrase that they use is lovingly ripped off from Monty Python and the Holy Grail is itself more than tongue-in-cheek. It's just outrageous Monty Python humor. How much of that is that carried over versus how much is it really just a spoof on Broadway?
Oh, no, I think a lot of it is carried over.
Yeah, it's kind of interwoven. Mm-hmm. The new parts and the old parts kind of fit seamlessly together into the show to make it a really funny farce.
And, so, I'm sorry, but a lot of Monty Python stuff, these same five or six guys played every character in it, and that's how the show does too.
Yeah.
You know, Sean plays at least three roles in the show, and a lot of the other characters play multiple roles in the show, and so you keep seeing them coming back from going to be a knight to playing, you know, the mean father at the end or the black knight in Sean's case. So it's funny to see them get to play these very different roles in the show.
So the exceptions, I guess, are Carla and Robert.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
We're the princess play. Track.
You're the what?
The princess track.
Or the king track.
I mean, they don't have to change.
Yeah, we don't. We just play our characters.
We're just ourselves.
Yeah, Robert's got it easy. He doesn't even change costumes.
Exactly. No costume changes, nothing.
Okay, so for those who have never seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, what's going on? I mean, it's kind of about King Arthur and his knights, but not the same King Arthur and his knights that most people know about.
Right. They're searching for the Holy Grail, and he tries to round up these knights. But King Arthur takes it very seriously, but all the proceedings around him are anything but serious. So I think that makes it even funnier. And then they find the Lady of the Lake.
Preposterous situations they kind of come into. Yes. Are you talking movie?
Just in general. But it's, as Robert said, his role takes it very seriously. He's very much the straight man of the show, and everything plays around him, and he's just like, what is happening here? You know, he just goes on and very serious through the whole thing. From any time they are supposed to be riding horses, they've got somebody that's clapping coconuts together to make the horse sounds and
following
them around. He has an assistant, Patsy, that follows him around and does everything with him. So,
but as compared to the movie, it is King Arthur on his quest for the Holy Grail. They run into the Black Knight. They run into the French taunter at the castle.
With the exception of the Lady of the Lake, it's very much the same. Mm-hmm. The scenes actually are almost word for word.
Yeah, verbatim. Mm-hmm.
So the knights who say knee are still
there. Yes.
Yeah, are indeed.
Knee. And the evil rabbit, or what's he called?
Such and such. What is he called?
The killer rabbit.
Yeah, killer rabbit. Yeah.
Tim the Enchanter.
And in the movie, they sing that little ditty, the Knights of the Round Table, and there's all sorts of just craziness going on, and that happens. The number, it's a big production number, clearly, in the musical. Yeah. What makes the musical work, I think, is that it's actually well-constructed music. It's got great arrangements, it's good harmonies, it's clever, very, very clever lyrics, but sometimes just, like, preposterous lyrics that are just so well-executed that the humor...
Right. It's like Monty Python Broadway.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, like the notion that you can't play on Broadway... Without any Jews, of course, that's not Monty Python. That's just completely out of context.
That's more of a
right. Yeah. That's exactly. The Broadway part of it.
Yeah. Well, I know you brought some songs to sing, so why don't we, instead of talking about examples that I happen to see on YouTube, why don't we have one from whoever wants to go first?
Sure.
And so, does this need a setup?
Perhaps. So Sir Galahad in the first part of the show is named Dennis. And King Arthur is like, will you join my knights? And he says if he can prove that the Lady of the Lake is real, he'll become a knight.
As opposed to the mud man that I am when he finds me.
And this is the Lady of the Lake making Dennis into a knight.
Okay, from Monty Python Spamalot, production that is going on now at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. And you're listening to Live and Local.
Once in every show, there comes a song like this. It starts off soft and low, and ends up with a kiss. Oh, where is the song that goes like this? Where is it? Where? Where?
A sentimental song that casts a magic spell. They all will hum along, will overact like hell. Oh, this is the song that goes like this.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Now we can go straight into the middle eight. A bridge that is too far for me.
While we both embrace,
and then we'll change the key.
Now we're in dream.
That's awfully high for me.
But everyone can see we should have stayed in D. For this
is the song that goes like this. I'm feeling very proud.
You're singing far too loud.
That's the way that this song goes.
You're standing on my toes.
Singing our song that goes like this. This is the song that is to last.
We'll be singing it till dawn.
You wish that you weren't born.
Let's stop this damn refrain
before we go insane. The song always ends like this.
I hardly know what to say.
I wish you could see the look on Kevin's face.
Well, I wish I could have seen the looks on their faces. We have their studio rigged up in such a way so they can actually hear the orchestra, which is kind of here and kind of not here in the studio. but from the back, you look like you were quite involved with each other and with the song. And,
you should
and
see them on stage with it. They're quite involved with each other.
Well, this was actually the question I was leading to. Again, going back to that YouTube thing where I saw the shtick that goes at least went on that. I presume it was a Broadway production. At least half or more of the humor of this, I assume, is what goes on physically beyond. I mean, if you just listen to the song, okay, fine. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but certainly, you know, we bring something to the table.
Galahad know? Goes from being a very heavy-set man to a very into-himself man okay. with long, flowing hair. And he becomes, you know, I have a mirror prop that I use and look at myself throughout the show. And mm-hmm. it's just very much about flipping my hair back and forth.
But he has this big transformation right before this number starts. And we ride out on a boat very similar to Phantom of the Opera. And at the end, there's a chandelier. So there's some of that like theater humor that if you're a theater person, you get, and it's that much funnier. And if not, it's still just sort of weird and funny on its own.
It's like, why is there a chandelier coming onto the stage all of a sudden? This is crazy.
So some of it's just purely gratuitous references.
Absolutely.
100%. Throughout the show.
Much of it purely good.
Yes. And we all love every second of it.
Exactly.
Well, and lots of people do that aren't Kevin's kind of quote. It's a general, like, there are people... It's people in theater are people who love people. In fact, they're in some ways the luckiest people in the world. You know, the silly references like that that's around.
It was fun for me to watch the audience for this one especially because there were a lot of like little teetotaler older ladies in the audience who I did not know if they would get it, and they would laugh at things and snort at things, and then they would go, no, I shouldn't have been laughing at that, and shake their heads. It's like, yes, that's the type of show I want to hear, yes.
Well, I think it's great, because I saw the show in New York City, and I'm not a Monty Python fan. I'd never seen it. So clearly, like, when the show started, there was some joke I was not in on, because there were people guffawing in their chairs. But it was just one of that, like, infectious laughter.
Well,
then the show itself just so lived up to all the hype it had gotten, and I enjoyed every second of it. And it was so fun. So you were getting it and you were along for the ride, whether you got the Monty Python aspect of it or not.
Mm-hmm. It's so silly and infectious that you just, you just cannot not have fun. I think it's mm-hmm.
these people on
so
stage
fun.
Are so preposterous, and I personally think we're loving every minute of it.
Yeah. We definitely are.
Well, and Sean, since you just came from playing what almost seems like a virtual opposite character in Will Rogers,
100%.
I imagine that A little freedom from that is not bad. Yeah, not that you need to be free of that, but, you know, just to be able to...
It's nice to not have to talk for 3 hours straight. But yes, it is. It's certainly so much fun. And as John mentioned, I get to play three very different characters, each of them equally preposterous. But it's just been a great process, and we laughed through the entire thing.
There's a lot of camaraderie, and so the knights that King Arthur... finds along the way and makes this band of guys. I mean, what a cool show to be a guy and get to be in it, because they're just having so much fun, like, cracking each other up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, all the actors with us, we just have a ball on stage together.
And they're all so talented. I mean, individually talented. And
if we do say so ourselves, pat ourselves on the back for casting this.
Thank you.
A man said to me after opening, I don't know if I told you this, or at intermission of opening night, he said, well, clearly you've brought the show in from somewhere. And I said, no, we self-produced this show. And he looked at me and he said, these people act like they've been working together for a very long time.
And well, I wanted to ask a little bit about that, because, Robert, this is your first time at the Little Theater.
Yes.
Summer or for this show?
Yeah, I did Pseudolus, and a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum here earlier this summer, and then I came back for Spamalot.
And is this a role you've played before? Or
no, this is my
before?
First time. I played, as opposed to Pseudolus, which I think I played maybe like 6 or 7 times before. And I think I've done the production like 8 or 9 times.
Well, I was watching the final run through of Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And the Arthur that we had originally talked about getting wasn't available. He had another show. And so Therese and I had been searching all summer for who are we going to put into this role? Who are we going to put into this role? It's intermission of that run-through. And I walk up to him and I was like, I want you to come play Arthur, because I just think that you're perfect for this. And, I mean, he's hilarious. And it's so fun.
What, if any roles, Robert, before this have prepared you to be King Arthur and being surrounded by all this?
Well, Forum prepared me. I did... the producers I did in the past, a lot of that like high comedy where it's very broad, kind of like gets you used to an audience reaction, what you know they're going to get, what you can kind of bypass. And so probably those shows that are the sillier, the better.
Is it difficult for you to be the deadpan person, the person who doesn't get the joke?
Actually.
Or do you get some of these jokes?
No. I don't. He doesn't really get any of it. He actually, it's a way different for me, because I'm usually the one with the punchline instead of the setup, and it's actually a lot less pressure. I like this a lot better, and it's actually and I think it's funnier, and it's more fun for me as an actor to be standing around all of this, and he has no idea what's going on, and he's kind of clueless. And when the absurdity comes up, he's like, but I'm king, you know, like that's his excuse for everything.
It's Monty Python's Spamalot at the Little Theater in the Square in Sullivan. It opened a couple of nights ago, goes through the 11th. Slight aside, besides this, the summer stock stuff that's going on, the adult ones, you also have the children ones going
which
on.
We just opened our final children's show this morning at 10:30.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And I got an email
Breakfast
from you
with Snow White.
Breakfast
yes.
with Snow White.
Snow White and
yeah.
Friends.
Tomorrow
we did the same
morning?
Thing with Dora the Explorer mm-hmm. that we did earlier this summer. It was Teresa's idea, actually. And to see these kids when those characters walk in and they just light up, that this is amazing. They know who that character is. And some of them are scared to death of, you know, like Swiper in Dora the Explorer, who's the bad guy. And
but
I think
they love him.
They love him, but don't, like, they didn't want him in the picture always. Mm-hmm. But they would stand next to mom or dad if Swiper was there, but didn't want him around. But it's so much fun. It's just silliness where the kids really get to interact and have that minute with those characters, which I think is really important in what we do in introducing them to what live theater really is.
But Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is not a spoof of the Brothers Grimm tale.
It is based on the Brothers Grimm.
Based on it. Mm-hmm. So it's the fairy tale that kids would love and expect.
Absolutely.
Yes, but not Disney.
Not
so
Disney.
The dwarves have to have different names, you know, there. They're similar in character.
By legal obligation.
Correct. Yes. So she's got a yellow dress on, I'll tell you. So everybody knows who she is.
So the performances of Snow White that remain are all at 10:30 in the morning tomorrow.
Right.
Next Tuesday, next Thursday, and then next Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, right.
So if anybody wants to sneak out to that. What are we going to hear next from Spamalot? Arthur is prepared to do something.
His song. This is another example of how I'm the straight man singing this song. It's called All My Knights Have Fled, and I have my sidekick Patsy with me, but he's just there to bang the coconut so that I could ride my imaginary horse. So I sing this song called I'm All Alone, and it's talking about how no one is here and everyone has deserted me and he's standing right there in the back. And so I'm not actually alone, but I think I am.
For dramatic effect.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a riot.
It's a riot.
Robert Anthony Jones in the role of King Arthur from Monty Python Spamalot.
I'm all alone, so all alone. There is no one here beside me. I'm all alone, quite all alone. No one to comfort me or guide me. Why is there no one here with me on the long and winding road to lift my heavy load? If there was someone here with me, how happy I would be. But I'm alone, so all alone. All by myself, I'm all alone. Night, tonight is the night when all my knights unite. Tonight we shine a bright light on a mystery of history, to wit, why are we called the Middle Ages when nothing comes after us? Someday, history will speak of a legendary king and his knights of courage and daring.
And thus ends that speech. Does that actually go on?
Yes, that's in two different spots in the show, but we meshed them together for dramatic purposes.
Dramatic license permitted here. It's live and local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Pleased to welcome folks from the Little Theater on the Sullivan. Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Thank you very much. You know, I'm curious. You did mention something I was going to ask about briefly, which is the the imaginary horse.
Yes.
Which of course gets ridden around a lot in the film, so I gather it does in the play as well. Yes. Is there some sort of overuse injury that can result from doing that?
One would think. It never gets old to me. I've watched the show now 3 times, and I hear it in the background.
Yeah.
You're coming, and I start to giggle, and then at one point, everybody does it, and then at another point, there's a whole choreography. What's it called?
Cocananigans,
where they all have them, and they.
We're doing choreography that's spoofing traditional Broadway choreography with these coconuts.
And it's just enough.
I feel like it's established so well too, because at the very beginning, you hear it coming from the distance, and when it actually comes on, it's just a guy riding nothing with coconuts banging in the back. So.
But what about? I mean, as an actor. Overuse injury resulting from doing this over and over again.
Oh, you mentioned
I hurt myself. Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in this other too, but this is.
No. No, I've hurt myself from overacting before, but not on this.
Nicely done. Touche, I suppose. I know we have at least one more number, and maybe we'll sneak in one more at the end. Carla, you're going to do something called Whatever Happened to My Part. You seem to have had a part.
It's true, and all you really need to know, the song will give you all the information. So the Lady of the Lake, she's the leading lady of the show. She's a bit of a diva. She hasn't been seen since the end of Act 1, and now we're midway into Act Two.
She's a leading lady, but she's just about the only lady, right?
Pretty much. There are. I have Laker girls. My fabulous backup dancers. There's five spectacular girls. But yes, it's kind of a fun show of the girl with all the boys.
Yeah. Carla Shook as the Lady of the Lake.
What ever happened to my part? It was exciting at the start. Now we're halfway through Act Two, and I've had nothing yet to do. I've been off stage for far too long. It's ages since I had a song. This is one unhappy diva. The producers have deceived her. There is nothing I can sing from my heart. Whatever happened to my part? I am sick of my career, always stuck in second gear. Do you think I need a tuck or a lift? They hate me there backstage. They say I'm too old for my age. I'm constantly replaced by Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift! Whatever happened to my show? I was a hit, now I don't know. I'm with a bunch of British knights, prancing round in Wally tights. I might as well go to the pub. They've been out searching for a shrub. Out shopping for a bush? Well, they can kiss my tush. It seems to me they've really lost the plot. Whatever happened to my and not yours, but my part.
Boy, I gotta say, we've had some really good singing on this show in the last week. Between you guys and some other folks we've had on this week, it's been a real treat to have you on, have you back, Carla and Sean, and always John.
Thank you.
I think we even had you sing once.
We did, because during Chicago, I actually had the recording of that, and it was flipping through my CDs the other day, and I don't know why it was still in the car, and it was like, oh, I forgot that I did that. The guy who played Cellophane.
Amos
wasn't able to be there that day. He was not well, and so I ended up singing the part.
Got to fill in. It's John Stevens, executive producer at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Matrice Kincaid is the associate artistic director. Thank you for coming. Sean Zimmerman in the role of Sir Galahad and at least a couple of others. Carla Shook as Lady of the Lake and Robert Anthony Jones as King Arthur. Monty Python's Spamalot continues at the Little Theater tonight at 8 o'clock. Performances tomorrow at 4 and 8, Sunday at 2 in the afternoon, and then next week the schedule Tuesday through Sunday. And if you want to see Snow White, that's going on there as well. Check out their website, thelittletheater.org. It's live and local here on FM 90.9. And time to mention a few other things going on in our listening area over the weekend. The Decatur Celebration is happening today through Sunday. Lots and lots of music and many other things going on as well. You can Google that and find the full schedule. The Down Home Music Festival in downtown Springfield is happening also today through Saturday and I think actually Sunday. Duke Tomato and the Power Trio are at Temple Plaza in Danville this evening at 6:30. The Hoagland Center in Springfield is presenting the comedy Bleacher Bums tonight at 8, and then at 2 and 8, both tomorrow and Sunday. And it's Freud's last session, the Celebration Company at the Station Theater, putting that on tonight and tomorrow, yet at 8 o'clock. The Downtown Danville Summer Concert Series is tonight at 6 at, that's the one I just read for Duke Tomato. Okay. Also, Alex Jenkins and the Blues Bombers Band, they're going on as well, apparently, in that same thing. Tri-County Players in Paxton present Sympathy Jones, the new Secret Agent musical. Tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, there's a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. The Giving Tree Band is at Donnie's Homespun in Springfield tonight at 8 o'clock. And the Duke of Uke and his Novelty Orchestra at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, followed at 9 by Big Grove Zydeco. And it's Leroy Troy and the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band at Watseka Theater in Watseka tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And Ken Bradbury's Hootenanny at Lincoln's new Salem Historic Site in Springfield tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL-FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I hope you'll join me again on Monday for another show starting at 4. It's All Things Considered next from NPR at 5 o'clock.